This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. Hate crimes continue to be a problem across the nation, but a bill making its way through the Michigan legislature hopes to at least curb a part of the problem. Here with me to talk about the so-called Institutional Desecration Act is MPRN's Colin Jackson. Colin, welcome back to Mishmash.
Happy to be here.
So, Colin, let's start with the broad strokes of this bill. What are supporting lawmakers hoping to achieve?
Right now, lawmakers are trying to basically prevent intentional desecration, vandalism, kind of destroying of property, et cetera, defacement of cultural related institutions. So that would include synagogues, mosques, churches, temples, schools, museums, charitable establishments, et cetera. And the way the bill describes what would be considered as one of these institutions would be, and just to read directly from the bill for a second, because this is kind of a wordful or a mouthful, is a person is guilty of institutional desecration if that person maliciously and intentionally destroys, damages, defaces, or vandalizes or threatens by word or act to destroy, damage, deface, or vandalize any of the following in whole or in part because of the actual or perceived race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, physical or mental disability, age, ethnicity, or national origin of another individual or group of individuals, regardless of the existence of any additional motivating factors.
That is a mouthful.
It absolutely is. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's really meant to prevent attacks on these kind of religious and cultural institutions that we've seen. So, for example, with rises of Islamophobia or rises of anti-Semitism, we've seen attacks on mosques, or we've seen churches being vandalized, or we've seen temples being vandalized. And these bills really hope to kind of increase those penalties beyond just standard kind of vandalization penalties, and really discourage attacks on these type of institutions.
Are there currently any protections for these types of institutions, or would this be creating something out of whole cloth?
So this would be something that would likely fall under current like vandalism laws. You know, I can't just walk up to a building that's not mine and start destroying it or defacing it. Those are already penalties that I would have to face. This would add those extra specific protections for these type of institutions. So, for example, whereas maybe before I could face a possible misdemeanor penalty, I'm not entirely sure with the current penalties under law, depending on how much property I'm defacing, that would fall under this category, or how much property I'm threatening to deface too, because this is something that under the bill, it says by word or act, I could face up to a felony or up to 10 years imprisonment or maximum fine of $15,000 or 3 times the amount of destruction of property, whichever was greater, according to the bill. So this is really just elevating those penalties.
You were at a recent committee hearing on these bills where testimony was given. Who were the people that spoke out against the measure, and what are their concerns?
So during this specific committee hearing, it wasn't something that we saw a lot of opposition for. We did see some kind of concerns being expressed by some lawmakers, especially Republican Senator Jim Runstead, who one of his major points of concern was the words, quote, by word or act in the legislation. And his concern with that was, this means someone doesn't necessarily even have to actually go through with the vandalism or actually go through with the deed of destroying or defacing something. And that maybe something, and from his reading of the bill, something that posting on social media, kind of ranting about destroying something or wanting to take down something, that could possibly fall into it. And there was a concern there that this could lead to people being overcharged, or that the bills could be a little bit too subjective in terms of how they decide what would fall under the bill.
What is the status of this legislation, and do you think we'll see any further movement soon?
So right now, these bills are still before the Senate Civil Rights Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. They were scheduled for a second hearing yesterday. Actually, that meeting was canceled. But it's likely, I would say, just kind of from talking with the committee chair, that these bills are likely to move out of committee and possibly see a vote on the full Senate floor.
Now, Democrats in the legislature are also working on measures to change the state's hate crime laws. Can you catch us up on what's happening there and what's stalled?
Yeah, so with the hate crime laws, it will be something similar. Right now, Michigan doesn't have an explicit hate crime law. You know, we have an act against what's considered, quote unquote, ethnic intimidation. And from the sponsor's point of view, the Ethnic Intimidation Act is inadequate. They're saying it hasn't been updated in decades, and they need to add more specific protections. For example, the current law against ethnic intimidation doesn't actually mention ethnicity at all. So the what's the proposed hate crime law? This is from Democratic Representative Noah Arbit. It will provide specific protections for abuses again for any attempts to intimidate, destroy, deface the property, or threaten, again, by word or act, anyone based on kind of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation. Something new it would add is gender identity or expression, physical or mental disability, age, ethnicity. Again, that's not actually mentioned by spelled out in the Ethnic Intimidation Act. National origin or association or affiliation with an individual or group of individuals based on any of those above characteristics. So that's something that passed the House of Representatives way back in the summertime. It saw a vote on the same day as the Institutional Desecration Act. This was not heard in Senate committee yet. The bills were kind of broken apart. Again, the committee chair of the Senate Civil Rights Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, Senator Stephanie Chang, she says she does hope that she does support the legislation and wants to see a hearing on it. She didn't give a specific timeline other than soon. So that's where this is at. There's definitely been a lot of pressure coming from Democrats in the House that supported this legislation to get these things moving in the Senate. There's also been a lot of pushback, again, based on possible subjectivity within the law or within the bill. So what happens with that and kind of what potential changes we could see, I guess, remain to be seen.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
And the end of the year is sort of quickly approaching. I know I've already been seeing Christmas decorations in stores, which is not something I really want to go into right now because that felt like a personal attack. But one of the things that lawmakers are trying to get done before the end of the year are these state business incentive funds, these bills that would address those. What's going on there?
So this is really legislative Democrats' plan to rework the SOAR fund, the Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve, also known as the SOAR fund. And this is something that was created back in late 2021. And it was actually bipartisan creation. And the whole idea of it was the perception that Michigan was losing out on some major investment from companies like Ford. And Michigan lawmakers really didn't want to lose out on that anymore. So they figured, okay, we need something where we can give a lot of money and economic incentives to attract these major business plans. And it's been used for several different things, notably kind of a Goshen battery plan that's planned for the Big Rapids community. It will also have been used for currently stalled Ford battery operation in Marshall. And these are things that, especially in within the past year or so, have become increasingly more and more, I would say, controversial. We've seen a lot of political backlash to the spending plan, to this amount of incentive spending. You've seen Republicans in the legislature say there's not enough oversight over the process. And this legislation is at least Democrats' attempt to kind of reform that to make sure that A, they're addressing some of those concerns, and B, that they're addressing some concerns from their own members who may not necessarily be for giving multinational corporations millions of dollars. So one of the main things that these bills would do is rename the SOAR fund to the, quote, Make It in Michigan fund. So the SOAR fund right now, there are three different pots of money that fall under the SOAR fund. There's money that goes toward site readiness. There's money that focuses on critical infrastructure. And this would bring in a third pot of money to that, called the Michigan 360 program. So that would kind of focus on community infrastructure, you know, so like things like city planning to make sure that communities are walkable, support for small and micro businesses, kind of workforce related programming, community services like mental or behavioral health services, education, etc. And so the support for these things is to make sure, well, Democrats are saying that this would make sure that the state is getting more of its bang for its buck in these big infrastructure investments. So, for example, if Michigan were to give more money to a big corporation like a Ford in the future and that project didn't pan out, they're saying at least the Michigan 360 Fund would make sure that the community has something to gain for itself that wasn't explicitly for Ford, but also would help for like workforce development and kind of human capital type things. So that's really some of the justification for it. Other things would do would give the legislature non-voting representation on the Michigan Strategic Fund Board. That's the group that oversees the SOAR fund and would continue to oversee the quote unquote Make It a Michigan Fund if these bills do pass. So there are some changes like that as well, but the whole idea is reforming this incentives program to make it more worth it for Michiganders.
Also, there was movement on a plan to set a 100% clean energy standard by 2040. And I'm really curious about this one because that sounds like a very lofty standard to set. What's going on there?
So these bills made it out of committee on Wednesday, and then Thursday last night they saw a vote from the Michigan Senate and they made it out of the Michigan Senate. So we've seen these bills continually changing since they initially came out. They were introduced back in the spring, and we've seen a lot of drafts come out behind the scenes that weren't necessarily heard out in committee. Occasionally we would hear updates before the Senate Energy and Environment Committee. Really the first time we got to see a full public look at what was close to what passed yesterday was on Wednesday when we heard this kind of brief update. And like you mentioned, the big part of this is setting that energy efficiency goal by 2040. That would include nuclear. That would include nuclear energy as part of that clean energy standard. That wasn't something that was fully supported in the first versions of the bill. This would also allow for natural gas using, I believe, 90% carbon capture technology. There's been some criticism and pushback from Republicans on the side of the aisle, basically saying that's not realistic and that is just a different way of outlawing natural gas while creating a talking point. But at the end of the day, this is something that Democrats have been pushing for a long time. Governor Gretchen Whitmer included this in her What's Next address that she gave back in the early fall or late summer, depending on how you want to define August. And this is part of a broader energy package. You know, there's also bills dealing with giving Michigan Public Service Commission more power to cite solar and wind projects and preempt local control. Those have been making their way through the legislature. I believe there's similar bills in both chambers that have been heard in committee. There's other bills that we saw passed yesterday that would create a new we saw bills passed in the Senate yesterday that would create a new office to help workers through an energy transition. These are things that have received a lot of heavy Republican pushback. We saw at least in our debate yesterday when they passed. It's hard enough to get something through the Senate. I would say it's maybe harder to get something through the House when you have more members to make happy and you really can't afford to lose a single one of 56 votes. So we'll see how this goes. Republicans are already promising opposition. So we'll see how close these bills are to the final form that do pass.
Colin Jackson is a Capitol reporter for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Colin, thank you so much for joining me on Mishmash.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts, Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.